Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton, bringing you this week's edition of Earth and Home. Today, we will be reading from Mother Earth News, February-March 2025, and Real Simple Magazine at realsimple.com. Let's get started with Mother Earth News. Protect Pollinator Habitat. Do your part to help save the bees. By Doug Ottinger. Whether we live a rural lifestyle, an urban one, or something in between, our existence and that of the world as we know it depends on an ecosystem of small pollinators and native pollinator habitat that most people rarely notice. Approximately 35% of food crops and 90% of wild plants in the world are dependent on animal pollination. While the common European honeybee, Apis mellifera, has become one of the primary pollinators of domesticated food crops, it makes up only a small portion of the bee species and other insect pollinators in the world. Worldwide, there are some 20,000 species of wild bees. North America is home to almost 4,000 of these species. When any of these species become extinct, we've lost an entire link in our Earth's ecology. The power of pollinators. Multiple species of pollinating insects are necessary for our ecosystem to flourish because not all plants can be effectively pollinated by the same types of insects. Before the European honeybee was introduced to the Western world, native bees and other insects were prevalent and effective in pollinating wild plants and the crops grown by Native Americans. Some native bees can fly in colder or damper conditions than common honeybees can handle, enabling the pollination of fruit blossoms and other plants under inclement conditions. Other species are better adapted to hot, dry regions. For hundreds of years, squash and pumpkins grown by Native Americans were pollinated by species of small, solitary, ground-dwelling bees, commonly known as squash bees. Tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants are pollinated more effectively by bumblebees, which perform vibration pollination. Sunflowers are too small for honeybees to enter, or the pistil and stamen configurations are difficult for the honeybees to access. These types of flowers are better serviced by other insect species that have evolved with the plants. In some cases, symbiotic relationships between insects make pollination possible. In certain species of lupine, the bumblebee's large-sized springs, the blossom permanently open. After this, smaller species of wild bees gain access and pollinate the plant. Many pollinators are in trouble. Many species of pollinators, both wild and domestic, are critically endangered. More than a quarter of North American bumblebees are currently facing extinction. Even the world of domestic beekeeping isn't exempt from these problems. Commercial beekeepers are losing entire colonies of bees to a disease broadly termed colony collapse disorder, which still isn't well understood. In some areas of the world, pears and other fruits are being pollinated by hand because of the loss of native pollinators. A significant factor in this decline is the loss of habitat. Urbanization and paving over of native pollinator habitat is one part of this. Large-scale agricultural practices are another. Native flowering plants, which provide food for insects, are being destroyed. Ditches are mowed and sprayed. Burrows made by ground-dwelling native bees are plowed under, even so-called urban green zones, which often consist of large swaths of beautiful lawns and trees, may be nothing more than food deserts. Few native pollinator plants remain, and any domestic flowers planted are insufficient to support sizable insect populations or allow them to reproduce. Widespread pesticide use has also taken a toll. Certain pesticides used in agriculture and horticulture, including systemic pesticides, can harm bees exposed through pollen, nectar, water, and air. Even sublethal doses can reduce queen production, colony size, foraging ability, and learning ability, as well as make bees more susceptible to diseases. To address this, consumers can choose pollinator-friendly ornamental plants at nurseries or ask local growers and nurseries which pesticides they apply to their plants. Finally, disease is another factor researchers are considering as they study pollinator decline. Bees may face any of the above factors in combination, which is why identifying a single cause or solution for decline is difficult. Build native pollinator habitat. According to Sarah Foltz Jordan, senior pollinator and habitat restoration specialist for the Great Lakes chapter of the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation, wildflowers are essential for pollinator food. Providing nesting and overwintering shelter for these insects is crucially important. Leaving wildflower stems and seed heads intact over winter is imperative to this. Dead wildflower stems are an important nesting habitat for about 30% of our native bees. Pruning stems back 6 to 18 inches in spring will result in stubble, providing homes for the bees. It may look unsightly, but green vegetation will soon cover the area. Leaving out an old log or two is another advantage you can give beneficial insects, such as ground beetles, fireflies, and native pollinators. Decaying logs are home to many of these creatures. Drill a few small horizontal holes a few inches deep into each log as starter homes for these insects. Leaving soil undisturbed as much as possible will give native pollinators an advantage. Bare patches and lawns are excellent nest sites for ground nesting bees. Mulching, which is often touted as eco-friendly, isn't so friendly to some beneficial insects. Many native bees are solitary ground nesters. Mulching, especially with plastic, landscaping fabric, or hefty wood chips, may cover their burrow entrances and limit their ability to find nest sites. Leave as many native flowers as possible. When planting for bees, sow wildflowers and native pollinator plants. Use species native to the region in which you live. Native pollinators are more adapted to the plant species they've evolved with. Finally, cultivate a series of plants that'll provide blooms and food for these insects throughout the entire season. Doug Ottinger lives in northwest Minnesota with his wife, Connie. They raise chickens, ducks, and geese on their small hobby farm. Doug's educational background is agriculture, with an emphasis in poultry and avian genetics. Create a haven for native bees. Build upon your mason bee habitat with the 30 DIY projects covered in Bee Hotel. With author Melanie Von Orlo's help, you'll discover what wild bees and other insects need most, and how you can provide it by building a home for them. From a one-hour hotel to a true romantic retreat, Von Orlo shares numerous ideas for creating insect dwellings, with step-by-step instructions, material checklists, and exact dimensions included. You can confidently create the perfect dwelling. Order your copy today and use the promotional code FEBMAR20 to receive a 20% discount. This title is available at store.motherearthnews.com or by calling 800-234-3368, item number 11819. Promotional offer expires on March 14, 2025. Best plants for bees. These 10 flowering plants seem to do well across a broad spectrum of regions. By cultivating these pollinator-friendly plants on your property, you'll create a haven for native pollinators. Be sure to check your local plant guidelines to choose wild species that are native and non-invasive in your region. 1. Goldenrod, Solidago spp. 2. Yarrow, Achillea spp. 3. Sunflower, Helianthus spp. 4. Bee Balm, Monarda spp. 5. Columbine, Oculegia spp. 6. California Poppy, S. Scholzia spp. 7. Lupine, Lupinus spp. 8. Chokecherry, Prunus virginianus. 9. Brambleberries, Rubus spp. 10. Wild Rose, Rosa spp. That concludes the article, Protect Pollinator Habitat. Next, we'll read from Real Simple Magazine. Is it St. Patty with a T or St. Patty with a D? We ask an Irish culture expert. Take the original Irish spelling into account when abbreviating St. Patrick's Day by Jenny Brown, updated on February 20, 2025. Fact-checked by Isaac Winter. When referring to St. Patrick's Day, many people aren't sure whether the shortened form is spelled St. Paddy's Day with a T or St. Paddy's Day with a D. If you can get pinched for not wearing green on this holiday, perhaps you could also get pinched for using the wrong name. So which is it, and does it actually matter? We spoke to an expert from the New York Irish Center for more insight on how to abbreviate the name and why it's important. Stephen Long is the Director of Arts and Culture at the New York Irish Center and a first-generation Irish American. How to abbreviate St. Patrick's Day. Though St. Patrick's Day is celebrated in countries around the world on March 17th with food, lots of beer, parades, and other festivities, the holiday is, at its roots, Irish. It began centuries ago as a religious feast day in Ireland in honor of St. Patrick, then spread as Irish immigrants populated other areas, eventually becoming more secular. In fact, the name Patrick is an anglicized spelling of the Gaelic name Padraig. So with the older Irish spelling taken into account, St. Patrick's Day is traditionally abbreviated as St. Paddy's Day with a D. If you're merely looking to shorten St. Patrick's Day, it would be St. Paddy's Day, says Stephen Long, Director of Arts and Culture at the New York Irish Center. It's colloquially okay to drop the saint also. Paddy's Day is fine. Long adds, either way, Paddy, not Patty, is the way to go. Who was St. Patrick anyway? The patron saint of Ireland. He's credited with bringing Christianity to the country during the 5th century AD. Many legends about him arose after his death, most famously that he drove all the snakes from Ireland into the sea. Why you've been abbreviating it wrong. If you've been writing Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, you're in good company. The spelling makes intuitive sense to people who don't know the Gaelic history of the name Patrick. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, people started writing it this way either as a diminutive form of Pat, another nickname for Patrick, or because they misheard the D in Patty. When spoken, St. Patty and St. Paddy can sound almost identical after all. So it's an honest mistake. No judgment. How to play it safe. Complicating matters further, Patty, P-A-D-D-Y, started becoming a pejorative term for an Irish person in the 18th century, according to Merriam-Webster. So some people may take offense at the name being for the holiday. To avoid offending anyone and to bypass the spelling issue altogether, you may want to consider just writing out St. Patrick's Day if you're posting any quotes or memes on social media or sending text messages. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Earth and Home. I am your volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Let's move on to the next article. Why do you get pinched on St. Patrick's Day? St. Patrick's Day Pinch Rules, Made Up or Cultural Relic, by Liz Stillman, updated on February 25, 2025. Fact-checked by Isaac Winter. There are plenty of superstitions people follow on St. Patrick's Day, but there's one almost everyone has to prepare for. If you don't wear green, you may endure some uncomfortable St. Patrick's Day pinches from friends and family members. Whether you follow these traditions or not, you may wonder what the deal is with the St. Patrick's Day pinch rule. Is this an ancient cultural practice or a silly game people play this time of year? Here's more about the St. Patrick's Day traditions we practice and where these pinching superstitions originated. History of pinching. It's common for people to wear green on St. Patrick's Day because of the holiday's association with Ireland's nickname, the Emerald Isle, and its flag's colors. In addition, people wear green on this occasion since shamrocks are commonly associated with this holiday. According to fun folklore, you get pinched on St. Patrick's Day for not wearing green because green makes you invisible to leprechauns. Leprechauns are mischievous creatures, and according to legend, they like to pinch people because they can. If you wear green, leprechauns won't be able to see you, so you'll be free of any painful pinching. But if you're sporting any other color this holiday, you're easy to find for them to pinch. St. Patrick's Day Pinching Rules. The reason why other non-leprechauns pinch someone not wearing green is to remind them that they should be. Here are some universal rules to consider if you take part in this holiday tradition. You must wear green clothing, rather than dye your hair green, which must be visible for all to see. Sorry, green socks tucked inside your sneakers won't do unless you can see them. If you end up pinching someone who is wearing green, they're allowed to pinch you back. If you aren't celebrating, you're not off limits either. You still weigh the chance to get pinched. Why do we even wear green on St. Patrick's Day? Before the 19th century, the color linked to St. Patrick was blue. However, green is now the more typical hue thanks to Irish immigrants who came to America and celebrated St. Patrick's Day and their heritage by wearing this symbolic color. Today, many wear this color to honor their roots. For good luck, green is the color of the lucky shamrock, after all. And of course, to stay safe from getting pinched. Go ahead and don your finest green attire this St. Patty's Day. Yes, that's how you spell it. And have fun. But remember, people may not appreciate getting pinched, even after enjoying a stiff whiskey drink. Other fun St. Patrick's Day traditions. Along with wearing green, here's a few more St. Patrick's Day traditions to celebrate the holiday. Baking Irish soda bread. Baking doesn't get much easier than Irish soda bread. Made in under an hour with minimal ingredients, this classic bread is a staple in Irish cuisine and is the perfect bite for the holiday. Enjoy corned beef and cabbage. Make your holiday menu easy by having corned beef and cabbage for dinner. This traditional holiday meal comes from the 1700s when Irish immigrants came to the United States. According to the USDA, the Irish considered beef to be a luxury, so when they came to the U.S. and found that salted beef brisket was so cheap, they swiftly incorporated it into their meals. Cabbage was readily available, so corned beef and cabbage became a common Irish-American meal. Drink green beer. Have some fun this holiday by drinking green beer. Grab your favorite light beer and diet green to channel the luck of the Irish for the day. That concludes Why Do You Get Pinched on St. Patrick's Day? 30 St. Patrick's Day memes and quotes you'll want to send to everyone. Celebrate the holiday in jest with a funny meme or meaningful quote by Liz Steelman and Lisa Milbrand, updated on February 24, 2025. If you're like us, when St. Patrick's Day comes around, you look for funny quotes, memes, captions, and images to share with family and friends. Whether you spend March 17th with relatives eating corned beef and cabbage, or pretending to be Irish at the bar with buddies, perhaps with Irish coffees, it's always fun to say Happy St. Patrick's Day. Celebrate with a heartfelt image or hilarious meme to share the day's spirit. As long as you spell St. Patty's Day correctly, P-A-D-D-Y, of course, keep reading for several St. Patrick's Day quotes and funny St. Patrick's Day memes that make you feel like you've stumbled upon a pot of gold. St. Patrick's Day quotes. Looking for a nice pot of quotes for St. Patrick's Day to celebrate the day? We put together a handful of our favorite quotes, funny and sincere, for you to save and send to your favorite leprechaun. Luck is believing you're lucky. Tennessee Williams. The way with Ireland is that no sooner do you get away from her than the golden mists begin to close about her, and she lies, an island of the blessed, something enchanted in our dreams. Catherine Tynan. I've always thought you've got to believe in luck to get it. Victoria Holt. You gotta try your luck at least once a day, because you could be going around lucky all day and not even know it. Jimmy Dean. They say there are only two kinds of people on St. Patrick's Day, the Irish and the people that drive them home. Conan O'Brien. Legend says that each leaf of the clover has a meaning. The first is for hope, the second for faith, the third for love, and if you can find a four-leaf clover, the fourth leaf represents luck. Jean Legrand. Diligence is the mother of good luck. Benjamin Franklin. The only sure thing about luck is that it will change. Wilson Misner. A good friend is like a four-leaf clover, hard to find and lucky to have. Irish proverb. May your blessings outnumber the shamrocks that grow, and may trouble avoid you wherever you go. Irish proverb. Never iron a four-leaf clover, because you don't want to press your luck. Unknown. Ireland is a land of poets and legends, of dreamers and rebels. Nora Roberts. When Irish eyes are smiling, watch your step. Gerald Kirsch. I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it. Thomas Jefferson. Love yourself as if you were a rainbow with gold at both ends. Aberjani. Whether it's St. Patrick's Day or not, everyone has a little luck of the Irish in them. Laura Summers. Ireland was a place for the renewal of hope, and I still see it like that. Daniel Day Lewis. With a little luck, we can help it out. We can make this whole damn thing work out. Paul McCartney, with a little luck. Yeah, it's St. Paddy's Day. Everyone's Irish tonight. Norman Reedus, Boondock Saints. I'm just following the Irish way of life, the human way of life. Cram as much pleasure into life and rail against the pain you have to suffer as a result. Shane McGowan. St. Patrick could be up in heaven going, I didn't even drink. What are these people doing? I like the color blue. I made that very clear. Jim Gaffigan. Being Irish, he had an abiding sense of tragedy, which sustained him through temporary periods of joy. William Butler Yeats. If you're lucky enough to be Irish, you're lucky enough. Irish saying. Geographically, Ireland is a medium-sized rural island that is slowly but steadily being consumed by sheep. Dave Barry. I'm horrified of leprechauns. I'm horrified that I might be leprechauns. Tom York. Don't want a four-leaf clover. Don't want an old horseshoe. Want your kiss, 'cause I just can't miss with a good luck charm like you. Elvis Presley, good luck charm. This is my lucky day. I'm all in clover. I'm glad all over. I want to shout hooray. Judy Garland, lucky day. St. Patrick's Day memes. The way we celebrate St. Patrick's Day in the United States is much less serious than the traditional Saint's Day from which the Irish holiday stems. Embrace the cheekiness of the holiday and send friends and family a funny meme. That concludes 30 St. Patrick's Day memes and quotes you'll want to send to everyone. We have time for one more article in Mother Earth News. News from Mother. Winter visioning. Winter has fully settled in and the ground is frozen hard. Last summer is now just a memory, though we can recall the brightness of the sun in the sugars of our stored squash and in the hay that sustains our livestock through the colder months. If you keep livestock, they'll still need daily care, but the work is usually lessened. Calving, lambing, and kidding season will be here soon, but the regular work of rotational grazing is on hold for now. Those of us with green thumbs may be tending the windowsill herbs, growing microgreens, or caring for indoor citrus trees, but even still, the work tends to be less. While the gardens and pastures sleep, we have time and perspective to plan and envision the coming year. What will this next year hold for you? Have you ever sworn off gardening at the height of the busy season, deciding it's too much work to grow and harvest and preserve? Or you may have decided that this year's garden will be a little smaller. It's funny how a little break lets us forget some of the hard work and remember instead those juicy heirloom tomatoes warm from the garden or the baskets full of snap peas, less expensive and more delicious than anything we could ever buy at the store. So we return reinvigorated. 2025 will be my best garden yet. And chances are it may even be a little bigger. If that's the stage you're in, allow us to guide the crafting of your grand gardening plans. On page 22, Wren Everett shares tips for planning your garden so you can save your own seeds from your locally adapted and favorite varieties, allowing a whole new level of independence. Speaking of locally adapted, growing in dry conditions, page 40, will help you choose plants and start them right, even if the weather isn't helping. There's more to dream of, too. Perhaps 2025 is the year you start or expand a backyard flock of chickens. Chickens 101, page 14, will set you up for success, and those fresh eggs alongside your heirloom tomatoes and snap peas will make some of the best meals you've ever had. If you'd like to expand beyond a garden to a whole food forest, check out Power to Pawpaw Seeds on page 28. And make sure to plant good sources of food for the pollinators as well. Best Plants for Bees on page 18 has some suggestions. As you look ahead to the future, if you're dreaming of a larger transformation, whether in the coming year or the coming decade, we hope the tale of an Alaska cabin build, page 10, inspires you. Or if you want to start right where you are, check out I Can Make That, our new department on page 46, where we'll publish crafts suitable for anyone. So cozy up with a hot cup of tea and a thick slice of chocolate sourdough, page 32, and enjoy this issue. Big or small, we'd love to hear what you're dreaming of doing next. Share your goals with us at letters@motherearthnews.com. Warmly, Mother. We are at the conclusion of this week's Earth and Home program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Thank you for tuning in this week. Join me next time for another new and informative program. Have a great week and stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.